T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I thought you were setting it up for the Harbaugh bit. Nobody.
No. Wow.
Yeah, well,
Stoney is back.
I missed you guys. I wish you could just return the favor. I mean,
I wish you weren't a liar. You didn't miss us. You were living large. You were at a playoff game. You were virtually courtside, loving it until, well, tip.
Boy.
Yeah, you know, I was actually.
Do you feel like you jinxed him, Stoney? You can be honest.
No, I feel like Philadelphia's got a better team. Here we are in the Bay Area. Yeah. We're going to talk Hawks, Philly. No, we're not. Hey, Phil, let me tell you, Philly's big. I didn't realize how big that – you know, Ben Simmons is bigger than Clint Capella. It's pretty amazing.
All right.
But let's get to some other basketball to start. By the way, I'm serious, guys. I did miss you. I did miss you this weekend. We got Giants. Giants scored 3 runs in a 4-game series, but they still go 2-2. We've got Chris Paul doing the job for the Phoenix Suns. And the one, here's where I want to start with the NBA playoffs, because they are they're in full swing. I want to talk about the Jokic ejection to start, because I saw it and I got my own opinion on it, but I'm going to throw it out there to you guys first. Goo, what'd you think of the Jokic ejection when he came down going for the ball? It was Cameron Payne. Did a little acting job, got a lot of ball, maybe grazed the face. What'd you think, Goo?
And that's where I start, with the acting job. You know, the result. What did it culminate in? The guy didn't have to be taken off in an ambulance. He should have won an Oscar. It's the playoffs. The team's down 3-0. Jokic was playing hard. Was there some venom, I guess, guys, in that foul? Sure. But it didn't warrant an ejection to me. And it kind of just, you know, Denver was in a hole, down 0-3. But at the end of the day, I'm like, is that what we're doing with the Nuggets' playoff lives on the line? Plus, you saw them act, Dibs. That didn't warrant an ejection, if you ask me. I was kind of pissed off. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I understand that. And as a former official and a guy who goes to sleep at night with the rule book next to him, and, you know, normally that's my bedtime reading, you realize that the officials enforce the rule as it's written absolutely perfectly. And yeah, Cameron Payne, he might have gone for a little bit of a sell job on the chop because his nostril might have been grazed. There might have been a nose hair that was pulled or, you know, one little flick. But Jokic winds up with the high chop, much like the Atlanta Braves fan base mid-90s, and he comes down with such a force that he was over. He was done with the series. He was done with the year. He wanted to go home. He's the MVP, and that was that.
What I think's interesting, Goo, is some of the things you've already said, and this is what I think is a big, big issue. You said twice during what you thought about that, you said Denver's in a 3-0 hole. Should that matter? Should it matter that Denver's in a 3-0 hole? Should it matter that Jokic is the MVP when it comes to a call like that?
That's a great question. And yes, in my world, it should matter because right then and there, you know, he's not trying to get an early run. He's not doing anything on purpose to not be there for his team. So down 0-3, Steiny and Dibbs, to me, I would think the official would know what was the intent, what's at stake, and that's why he wouldn't have been ejected.
What was the intent and what was at stake? What was at stake was they were about to lose and get swept. And what his intent was, he lost the ball down 8, late third, and he was mad. And so he went, whoop, above his head, and then chopped down. That's not a frustration foul. A frustration foul is the classic grab with one hand, hook with the other, and then raise your hand, my bad, while patting the player on the rump. He came up with the full on, like the way Ned Stark got taken out in Game of Thrones. That's what that was.
Oh, boy.
I'll take an early 4. I'm sorry if I'm working a little dark right now, but Spadoni's pre-show lock of the day. Oh, Slovakia, Poland, bet the under. Well, it's got me feeling some kind of way, and that way is angry.
So Spadoni's not going to be doing lock of the day anytime.
No, no, no.
I got that covered for you.
Even the Slovak of the day he's not doing.
Not bad.
Wow.
I'll take 3.
Goo, couldn't you make a case that at 3-0, down 8 points, that's when he would want to get thrown out rather than if it were 2-2 or 2-1 and it was a tight series?
I could see you looking at it that way, but I'm not. And the fact that you two gentlemen know that Payne was acting, getting his Denzel on, that doesn't change. That doesn't sway you back to where it was BS. The fact that he had to go Robert De Niro at Dibs, to me, that takes away, okay, what did we really watch? Did Payne have anything to do with Jokic getting ejected? And I think so. That wasn't deliberate. I want to check out. They were only down Steve Young.
That's 8, everybody.
Yeah, but down 3-0, down Steve Young. Okay. And it was slowly, slowly getting away, and the frustration of being the MVP and realizing you're about to get broomed out the building in your own home floor, by the way, that led to the frustration. And credit to Jokic, who went over after and gave a little bit of love to Payne and a little bit of an apology. But is it too late now to say sorry? Yes, Justin Bieber, it is too late.
Nice.
Because he'll have to grow from this, much like Draymond Green grew from the teabagging and the lash out that cost his team the chip, not just the series. That cost him the whole month.
Yeah, you're right, Dibs. And
it's a big difference, bro.
Thank you.
You've officiated, and my dad's officiated. And this gets me back to the crux of the argument. Should a player's reputation be taken into consideration? And here's the other thing. Everybody just says, well, just ref the game the same way every game. Just do that. Okay. Well, let's just say hypothetically you're in a basketball series and in game 3 there's a fight. There's a fight between two guys. Or clearly the series is getting chippy. You don't like what should the refs do then before the next game? Wouldn't it be common sense that the three of them get together and say, look, things almost got out of hand in game 3. Let's call it tight early so that this game doesn't get out of hand. But then there's people that say, no, why would you do that? Then don't do that. Just so this stuff does not happen in a vacuum, Dibs.
Yeah, they're humans, and they know the backstory of all these guys. And
right.
It didn't play into Jokic, I don't think, in this case, but for me it was pretty easy when you look at the rule and it says, you know, any player, excessive and unnecessary contact committed by a player against an opponent. Normally it's to the head and neck area. Well, this was kind of to the head area, maybe barely, but also it also says whether any other players committed unsportsmanlike acts immediately prior to and or immediately following the foul. And the fact that he kind of got in the face of Cameron Payne and, you know, the two teams came together, I think that led to the feeling that there was more heat, more venom, more spice than just a good hard foul.
And speaking of which, Dibs, I know it wasn't the playoffs, but I go Karl Malone and what he did to Isaiah Thomas. I mean, the reaction is that like we seen something like that. This wasn't remotely close. And Steiny, again, I'm a guy that thinks the stage, the time, the offs, the fans, all that should be taken into account. And by the reaction, and I won't use Twitter to back me up, social media, I mean, you had your own players, Ja Morant, calling the league soft. So at that juncture, what does that mean? That was kind of that wasn't an 80s foul that warranted an ejection in the offs, regardless of who was up or down.
I think we got to stop doing that. Yeah, I think we got to stop doing that.
It's 21. And you know what? Ja Morant and the rest of the players, you're the reason why the league is soft. It's your fault, all of you. Cameron Payne, James Harden, CP3, who we're going to laud later for his heroism in these offs. Ja Morant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. It's all of you. It's the flopification of the NBA. So when Cameron Payne gets chopped on the wrist, back in the day, that was a good old-fashioned common foul. No apology, no nothing. He had a sore wrist, and you know what? He got back and played the next possession. But nowadays, that's a downright felony. So it's all of your fault, players, because all of you throw your head back. Every inkling, Steiny, every hint of contact, we throw ourselves on the floor hoping to get the whistle.
Absolutely. And that is a big, big part of what's wrong with the NBA. I thought by the it's to me, it was one of those by the letter of the law and the way it's written right now, I do think he's got to go by the rule. But, you know, that's where you'd love a little discretion where the ref says, you know what, let's just give him a flagrant one and we'll play on. And probably nobody would have thought twice about it. But then there's the other side. Well, are you enforcing the rules uniformly, or are you not enforcing the rules uniformly? And if Jokic doesn't get thrown out there, would Patrick Beverley have gotten thrown out there? Would Draymond Green have been thrown out? How about LeBron? Would LeBron have gotten thrown out there? Because the situation would be that every player in the NBA then should have gotten thrown out for that kind of foul. Man. Do we believe that? All right, we got a great show coming up today, guys. We got Mark Spears of The Undefeated talk some NBA playoffs. We've got John Gambadoro. He works for 98.7 in Phoenix, longtime radio guy in Phoenix. That city is turnt, as the kids say. And then we have Amy Trask joining us. She's a CBS sports analyst. She's also chairman of the board of the Big Three, which has their super draft today. And we're going to have a little fun with the super draft, the three of us. We're going to draft our own teams regarding guys we would love to have dinner with, it's basically. And that's going to be at noon. But when we come back, 888-957-9570, should Jokic have been tossed? Should he have been tossed because of that foul yesterday? All right, and the cash contest, too. We're giving away money on the other side with the cash contest, and it's all sponsored by Harris Ranch Beef. At Harris Ranch, they do beef that's raised locally right here in California, tender steaks, awesome burgers, and California classics like tri-tip roast. Flavor you crave, quality you trust. Find a store near you at harrisranchbeef.com.
What happens when your unit is defective?
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Boy, that's a
I don't know
question.
What's up, Steiny.
Dude, come on, man. It's so old. Look at Spadoni. Again, the infantile Spadoni gets such
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. I didn't. Okay, I thought you were, insinuating that I said it. Dude, who says, record it and run it back? What's wrong with my unit?
I actually am the one who says, record it and run it back. So, and that actually isn't that old. That was a fresh cut, if I'm not mistaken. Much like my haircut from
I see ya.
Supercuts in Pleasant Hill. Shout out my gal. In and out in 8 minutes. I had a tight window, Steiny. Played Chardonnay with our good friend Aaron Schleifer, Corey, Del Boca Vista. And I had to thread in a quick haircut before a social function. So Shout out the good people at Supercuts. 8 minutes, ideas. Yeah, you know, when you don't have much, Goo, it's like, just go ahead and, you know, once around the block and we're good.
I tell you one thing I've missed is trying to give away money. It's time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word FLY, F-L-Y, to 72881. That's FLY to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Should Jokic have been tossed last night?
Yep.
Nope.
I don't think he should have. But
I love it. All
but
right,
guess what? Guess what? I understand why he was. How about that for sitting on the fence?
I missed that.
The thing is
Steiny's back. I can see it both ways. Yeah.
To me, the reason he shouldn't have gotten tossed is because he got 90% ball.
And
that should matter. That should matter. The other thing is when, like, I think if you want to rake a guy across the hands and the wrist, go ahead and rake a guy. You can't. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it.
The guy or gal should be on the ground, hurt, hemorrhaging attention to whatever area. Dibs not being able to act or sell it. That's what stinks. He was able to sell it. The refs got duped. And I'll say this, playing game one at L.A., I'm being honest, Draymond, the non-flagrant call, hitting Bron in the head, it was a regular foul. To me, that was worse than what Jokic did to get ejected. Come on, refs, be better. Zebras?
Go ahead and take some time out and read the rule book, and then you can understand where they're coming from. And the rule is, it's the rule plus the video review equals his ejection. Because if that happened with no video review, it might have been a flagrant one because of the way Payne crumbled. Yeah. I mean, he crumbled, Steiny. You want to talk about, like, I thought maybe that was it for Cameron Payne. We might have reached the end of the road, boys to men. But, oh, no, nice. He just got grazed on the nostril.
Philadelphia.
He was able to pull through. So it's video review is part of the problem.
Right. And in fairness, the three refs, they're just the three refs that make the call on the court. Whatever the decision is comes down from New York. I think what they should do at a play like that is, you know what? We were going to eject Jokic, but we saw that Payne was faking, so we're downgrading it to a flagrant one. That's
exactly
what they should have done.
Who would be mad at that? Yeah.
The flopping is awful. I mean, what's going
on? You do that in soccer.
What is going on here? Is what to channel my inner Bobby Fitz.
What is going on here?
Thank you. Thank
two
you.
Cries. Two upgraded to a three upon video review, okay. Which is always nice. What's going on here is the videoification of our sport in basketball has made it so that flopping is the only real way to be successful. Because anytime there's contact, throw it at the rim. And if you jump for a three-point shot, go ahead and let your feet drift so the defender comes under you, because that might be a flagrant too. God forbid you land underneath somebody trying to close out on a jumper. The rules have gotten so far beyond the pale, Steiny, that the officials are the ones who are kind of being scapegoated. They're just trying to enforce the rule book, which the rule book now, it's a joke.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's one of the things that I think we always lose sight of is, the refs stink. Well, no, the refs don't stink. The rule book may stink. That's what may stink. But the refs are just doing their jobs. And you know what? If that's one of those things where after a game, we don't even know, but a lot of the times the league is in contact with a ref saying, you know, you guys missed a couple over the course of the game. Let us show you which ones you missed. And the other thing that's happening is kind of the paralyzing of officials on a play that they know is going to get reviewed. They tend to, almost feel like the onus of making a call is off them because they know whatever they do is either going to be affirmed or overturned anyway. So we'll just, the call itself doesn't really matter.
You guys got me thinking of when Dibs talked about, you know, past years, different decades of Bird, Magic, I don't think I've ever seen them flop. Shaq, Jordan, Pippen. I'm being real. Chris Mullin. And where I'm going is, when did this come to the league? And I think I got a name, Ginobili. I think I could be totally wrong, but when you say, when did it start, Mr. Johnson, I want to say Ginobili started with the antics and the flopping, because we never saw it back then. A hard foul or flagrant was real. There was blood, Dibs, or yeah, I mean, people needed to be tended to. I hated, and I mean this, I hated to watch Jokic's season end on that, man. That was, and I know you're down 0-3, so what leg do you really have to stand
right on?
But the fans lost. And that game, like you said, Dibs, was over as soon as he took his stroll to the locker room.
His season ended in game 3, quite frankly. Oh. And that looked to me like a manager who's down 10-1 in the fifth, and his pitcher's getting lit up, and there's some borderline call, and he runs out there, and he's screaming at the ump, and basically under his breath he's saying, throw me out. Do me a favor and throw me out. I got a couple of Coors Lights waiting for me in the clubhouse. Get me out of here. That's what that felt like to me. And, you know, as far as the flopping, I would trace it back to Reggie Miller, quite frankly, the way that he would throw his arms and legs around. And granted, Reggie today would average 27 free throws a game. His ability to act, and as long as his limbs are, he would be the best in the business. Back then, I think that he was really one of the trailblazers of it.
Well, some good techs already coming in.
Nice.
Two guys, Vlade Divac is being named three times already through the text line. Vlade Divac started it.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher's name is coming up here with the Lakers. It's just something that grew and grew and grew, and now it's almost a part of your skill set. You know, Chris Paul, he's great at it. He's absolutely great at it. LeBron knows how to do it. Harden knows how to do it. I just think it's all bad. I really do. I mean, I think the offense already has so many advantages in this day and age. You know, the defense maybe goes a little overboard and they don't get the break for it. I don't know. But, I mean, let's be honest, though. We may be burying the lead. There's a real feel-good story here. There's a feel-good story here with Chris Paul. All right. Anybody who loves basketball, Guru, got to be happy for Chris Paul. Whether you're a Suns fan, whether you're a Warriors fan, how can you not root for Chris Paul? Wouldn't it be ironic if in the year of the injury, Chris Paul stays healthy and leads the Suns to a title, Gu? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Steiny, it would. I missed you, and I'm reaching for my tissue right now as you talk, because I was a guy that said Chris Paul was done. He let his body go. His teams can't count on him. And on his best day, when he was in L.A. and even them choking right after New Orleans, his stock was down. I was like, retire. I mean, that's where I was. And I've come to realize in our world, our society, guys, you go up, come down, and then they love you again. This is a redemption story, perseverance at its fullest, and I'm rooting for the guy. That's all that's down. Whoever, there's nobody on this earth not rooting for Chris Paul, right, Dibs?
That's pretty funny that you would say that. I mean, I would say people at competing insurance agencies might be competing against him based on his affiliation, which we won't name, but exactly, Dipper Claus. I'm sure that the good people of blank, blank, and blank are not saying, go CP3, get that added value on your endorsement. So there's a small group of people. And by the way, he hasn't been healthy throughout the playoffs. He's missed games with his shoulder and his knee, his neck and his back. And to think that he's going to stay healthy throughout the rest of the playoffs, if they make it all the way to the finals, it's a pretty cute notion to me. I'm not trying to, like, you know, crack out the voodoo doll on him, but the guy is broken. He's broken, he's brittle, and he's always hurt. And I am not rooting for Chris Paul. Now, Monty Williams, yes. So I guess by proxy, I need Chris Paul to win one for Monty Williams to get one, but that to me is the real feel-good story about the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I always bring it back to the Warriors because we're in the Bay Area, and I just look at the villains over the years for Golden State, whether it's Harden or Westbrook or Chris Paul, LeBron James. I got to believe of, let's say, those four or five guys, a Chris Paul title wouldn't be bad news for Warrior fans, because Curry's elevated. He, you know, Chris Paul's never going to be – he's never going to get to Steph's range. So Steph and Chris Paul have a great relationship. I got to believe people are like, you know what? Why not Chris Paul? It's your time. It's your time.
And no doubt, I'm thinking of that that crossover Curry did on him in L.A. that some could say ruined him, Dibs. I know it was just a highlight, but it was a bad one for CP3, and it seems like he's had bad luck ever since. But I'm going to go here. Forget Sam Cassell. Forget DeMar DeRozan. Watching Chris Paul bang those mid-range jumpers, is that refreshing or what? Dan, how can you not be a Dan? Dibs, how can you not be a part of that? He's giving you productivity on the offensive end, and it's the old school way with those mid ranges just I mean, you got to come on, man.
No, I appreciate it. And I'm not saying that he's the one that I'm rooting against the hardest. That would be the Brooklyn Nets, the broken Nets, as we are now referring to them. I mean, you sound surprised. Have you not listened to me for the past month where I said that I'm not eager to see KD get another one on his own and put me in the minority? Fine, but that's my feeling. And for Chris Paul, you know, I have nothing against him. I have no cross to bear. But if I was to, you know, we did our Midas last week on who you would give the golden ticket to win a chip.
Yeah.
It's not Phoenix.
Who would it be, Dibs?
My team would have been Denver. The now defunct Nuggets with the Joker and the Chop on the sidelines. Night-night. Exactly.
Kurt's in Oakland. What's going on, Kurt? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'll be quick. The league should have outlawed the flop charge when Monte Ellis at 6'3 and maybe 180 pounds jumped up and Yao Ming fell over at 7'6, 350 like he was blowing in the wind. And Bob the other one that also helped with the flop was Vlade Divac when Shaq was on him, and he would try to flop back when Shaq would push into him. And then people started selling that as well down in the post.
Yeah, Vlade was a big offender. I do not remember a Monte Ellis charge over Yao Ming. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it may be the only thing I don't remember about Warrior basketball the last 23 years. But that's, you know, big men are now taught to take a charge rather than go challenge the shot. So that's what they're going to do.
To me, the charge and the block is not the problem. The problem is the perimeter, leg kick, the closeout, stagger under. It's the throw my body into you. That's the problem right now. If there's a bang-bang collision outside the restricted area and it's a block or it's a charge, fine. That's a 50-50 call most times. The main flopping to me is the perimeter flopping.
And it is, and I'll say this to that point, Dibs, thank God the regular season's over. I get so mad when, and Curry, you know, he has it mastered, but where I'm going is I haven't seen it much here lately, which is a good thing. You know, it's still called, but it's just not as blatant, those bad ones. Where you're like, you know what? That's cheating. I ain't said that in about a week or two, so that's good.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Coach Duran, Union City. What's up, Coach?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Steiny, I got to agree with you today. I think it should have been flagrant one. I don't think Jokic honestly should have got ejected. The league is lighter and softer nowadays in this era, but that's the way things go. So I, you know, hope that they try to enforce and step it up as time goes on. But, yeah, I think Jokic should have stayed in the game.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it with your subtle undertone and nice, even-keeled voice. Guys, let's take a listen to Jokic on what he said after the game about what occurred.
I thought I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Did I hit him? Didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't do it. I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off a little bit.
Yeah. He just wanted to commit
a
hard foul.
Worse for him here, Dad. Wow.
He wanted to see if he could change the whistle and the way that game was going. I love Jokic, man. He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool. Did you see the interview with him on TNT after he won the MVP? It was cool. He's a pretty humble guy. I'm a Jokic fan. I mean, let's face it, though. These playoffs are being marred by injury. And I know there's injuries every year. But if I were the GM of a team, I would not overreact to anything that's happened this year. And what I mean by that is, like, if I'm Denver's GM, I'm not, we can't get over the hump. You're missing Jamal Murray. If I'm the Lakers, we got beat in the first round by the Suns. Relax. You lost Anthony Davis and LeBron wasn't 100%. Oh, what if the Nets don't get it? Well, the Nets are missing. Like, everybody's missing somebody. And where are we with the injuries right now, guys? Do you think it's taken away from kind of the quality of the playoffs or the interest, let's say, in the playoffs? Because I know there always have been injuries, but it does feel like more teams are being affected.
I don't think it's taken away necessarily other than the marquee value that's been missing in the playoffs, but injuries are a part of what we're doing now in pro sports, not just basketball, but in all sports. We're asking our players to play more, do more, play at a higher level on short rest. And I know the NBA stretched out their season, but the fact that they were coming off a bubble with the shortest offseason in history, and yeah, you're going to have guys go down and guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get hurt, and even though you didn't play 82, well, you played 72. It probably would have been better to play 60, maybe slowly graduate it back up, but that's not what we do. We throw our athletes out there. We don't really have much care about their well-being, and then when they get hurt, we rip them.
Yeah, great point, Dibs. And Steiny, while you were in ATL, I'm sure you heard Adam Silver treating his players like cattle. They're going to start the season again in October. So to me, that's a subliminal message of, we don't give a rat's ass. We still got to get these checks and these broadcasts. But, you know, to Dibs' point, there's all this analysis and over-analysis and excitement about sports. Nobody ever puts in that one facet that nobody can control or see coming, and it's injuries. And I go back to the Niners and Kyle Shanahan's decision to say, you know what, that's enough. And that's not going to prevent more injuries. But at least he tapped into it. But for Adam Silver to just basically say, Steiny, we're going to start again in October, it's like, where's the heart in this? I mean, something's going on. Maybe, hey, and you may not cure it, but at least try. Maybe start 2 or 3 weeks later so everybody can get the proper rest, knowing you rushed him back this season.
You know what, Goo and Dibs, Adam Silver was at the game in Atlanta on Friday, and I did want to kind of talk to him about this, but he couldn't get down to my section where I was sitting.
There's a flex.
Yeah, and so I didn't have a chance to see what was going on with him on that. I didn't even know he was there. He may as well have been in the nosebleeds. Adam Silver. So, yeah. Antonio, Oakland, what's going on? These guys aren't going to help me right now.
Help you with what?
You're going to let me hang after that. I get it.
Well, I was debating whether or not to come at you for your T-shirt over collared shirt look in the social media post, because when you go to a playoff game, you know you're going to get the everybody wears the same shirt. So why would you go with the nice button-up shirt knowing you're going to put a T-shirt over the top of it?
That's a great question, Dibs. And what if I told you I actually gave that a lot of thought? And I just felt like, honest to goodness,
Give it to us.
I didn't want to wear a t-shirt
choke artist
to a game. I wanted to at least wear a collared shirt, and I knew I was going to put that red shirt on probably over it. But I almost texted you guys on the way there because we talked about what I was going to wear on the plane.
Right.
And I was thinking, duh. Of course I was wearing. Of course I ended up with a sweatsuit on the plane. That was the way to go. Sweatsuit. Right,
yeah.
Dibs?
Sloppy. No, especially, you're trying to make a first impression in, row 24, seat C, and you don't come with sweats. And you also don't go with the collared shirt, knowing you're going to put the t-shirt over the top of it. So much like Brandon Belt, you had a rough weekend.
But hey, I got to say this, though, Stoddy.
Thank you, Boach.
Thanks.
And four crides for my crossover.
Or presidents, when they go to a school or somewhere, Dibs, they put the shirt over the white collar shirt. So it looked like you were at a function. So you know what I'm saying? I'm only wearing this because I'm in the house.
Right.
I gave you some love.
Man, you're giving him so much love today, it feels like you might owe him some money or something good.
let's ask Antonio. Antonio in Oakland, when it's a whiteout situation or everybody's wearing yellow, I mean, you put that over a collared shirt, it works, right?
Yeah, why not, man? I mean, everybody got their style, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I met you guys, you know, you guys saw my style. But anyway, I don't want Chris Paul to win a title under any circumstances. He's the enemy forever. You know, like, ever since he said, Gilbert Arenas and Steve Nash are the two best shooters ever, you know, at the point guard position. And, you know, he forgot about somebody that plays for the Warriors, number 30, Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, he's a dirty player. On top of that, you know, he's a sneaky dirty player. He's been doing it since college, you know, hitting people in the man region, you know, so on and so forth. Need I say more? I'm
all right.
Saying no championships. So that's how I feel.
All you need to say, Antonio, is that you agree with me. And I know it's hard for you to say those words, you're welcome.
Oh, hey, Dan Bibley.
Exactly. That feels better, doesn't it?
Anderson Varejao is also getting mentioned on the text line as flopper supreme, flopper extraordinaire. And that's also a good
sideshow.
Well, one came before the other. The one Dibs doesn't like, the Reggie Miller, that came. We saw that more now with the 3-point evolution. But the flop, you got me. It may be Vlade. You know, I said Ginobili, but it was around before him.
And it's crazy, Steiny, the evolution of the flop. It used to be a defensive maneuver. Now it's an offensive move. Now it's offensive players who are flopping. And that's where they've really started to emulate soccer. And the one thing soccer did, which helped to curb it a little bit, is now you get a yellow card if you flop. If it's obvious you flop, you get a yellow. And Goof, you get a second yellow, you're gone, and your player has to play one man down. Like Spadoni's Poles right now are playing a man down.
I got it on.
Don't you why dare play that, Spadoni. You're dead to me right now. But if they did something like that in the NBA where, okay, you flop. If you flop again in this game, you're ejected, like a flopperant one and then a flopperant two.
They should. I mean, they have a rule where they're supposed to be enforcing that, Dibs.
Right.
I do think that Guru's right about Ginobili on the offensive part. Like, when I think of Ginobili, he was one of the first guys that would be dribbling and then he'd lift his whole body up like they were holding him on offense. The irony about Ginobili is he was one of the toughest players in the league, in reality. But then he did that. All right. On the other side, the San Francisco Giants. They may have lost 3 of 5. They may be having trouble scoring runs, but they're still in first place. We're going to catch up with the Giants and what's going on in our league around them on the other side. And it's all sponsored by the Department of Healthcare.
What's up, guys? It's Brooksy.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game wants to send you on a trip to the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa. Enjoy a two-night stay, a round of golf, a $250 food and beverage credit. To be entered, download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and favorite 95.7 The Game. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Search for 95.7 The Game and hit the heart icon in the top left-hand corner. That's all you got to do. Download and favorite, and you will be entered to win. For more details, visit 95.7thegame.com/contests. And we were talking NBA playoffs. which are underway. Obviously, we're in the thick of it. It's Phoenix Suns going to the Western Conference Finals. That was a team that stunk 2 years ago. So, you know, if anybody that wonders if the Warriors can get back in it in a hurry, maybe the Suns are a good sign, because the Warriors were, they were lousy 2 years ago, albeit because of injury, but maybe they can make that jump back to the top. Let me tell you a team that's on top, the San Francisco Giants, still lead the National League West. They split with Washington this weekend, despite a big-time power outage. But before we get into the Giants, let's find out what's happening around them in our league.
Yeah, last night, Steiny, in our league is the name of the bit, and it's all about the wild, wild West and the Giants with a six-game split on the road trip, but they still find themselves in first, and the team in third made a lot of noise as the Padres slammed the Mets.
A drive out to left field for Tatis. The San Diego Padres are on the road in New York. And Fernando Tatis Jr. has put them on top 6-2 with a grand slam.
Yeah, we get it. Dan Orsillo, Bally Sports West. Four crieds for your San Diego. It was Tatis Jr. with the salami. Six runs in the seventh. The Padres, Goo, snapping a four-game skid. They're three back, but starting to right the ship a bit.
Yeah, and I got to, Steiny's back. I got to put some respect on their name. They got a strong outing from Paddock. But if there's any better nickname for a team in its offense than Slam Diego, Steiny, you get it? They hit grand slams. They're nine games over, so the Padres are going to be a player. I better put some respect on their name, and I'm going to do it today.
You know, it's interesting because they're calling them Slam Diego, but yet they really do. And I looked because, you know, checking on them. They do only have two power hitters on that team. It's not like you can go up and down the lineup. I think Tatis Jr.'s got 19. I want to say Machado with 9. But other than that, nobody, I think, has more than 5. Yeah. You might be on to something, Gil.
Man, but getting it done there in a nice bounce back against the Mets to draw within 3 of the Giants. Game number 2, your second place Dodgers. Buehler stays perfect as the Dodgers beat the Rangers.
Betts lifts one down the right field line, peeling towards the corner. Gamble's over. It's gone! Inside the foul pole. Home run, Mookie Betts.
Joe Davis on Spectrum Sports, L.A. Mookie with the home run. Shout out, Do the Right Thing. I'll take 3 for my Mookie.
Rosie Perez.
Appreciate it. Walker Buehler now 6-0. The Dodgers just sitting a game back, Goo. Is it a matter of time before they pass the Giants?
I think it is, man. And they're the World Series champions for a reason. And the Giants don't have the talent they have pitching and, you know, throughout the, you know, the roster, Steiny. So every day that goes by that the Gigantes are in first, I'm mesmerized. But I say all that to say, my friend, the Dodgers are coming.
Yeah, speaking of Do the Right Thing, I was involved in an in-depth conversation about that movie over the weekend. What a cast. John Turturro, Danny Aiello, Viola Davis, even John Savage. Remember him?
Yeah.
He was with the bird jersey on, and he accidentally rode that bike over Spike Lee's shoes, and it was all bad, guys.
Look at you. Did you recently watch that, or had you seen that years ago?
I'd seen it years ago. Great
Look
movie.
What the ATL will do to him, Dibs? I see
Look
him.
Look at Steiny. What else did you see, Steiny? Boys in the Hood and Friday and, you know, Pootie Tang.
What one else at a time. Catch? One at a time.
Sadate. Game number 3 on the runny kind. The Snakes suffer their 10th straight loss.
And here's the pitch. This is a ball that he lifts high and deep out into right center field, and that ball is way out of here. The Angels add on, and now it is 10-2 Angels.
Terry Smith with a little sound effect in there on KLAA. That was Jared Walsh, his 14th of the year. The Angels with 6 in the first 2 innings. The D-backs, Goo, haven't won since June 1st.
I'll say this. The head coach must have a good relationship with the owner or general manager, because, Steiny, I don't know what it takes for you to realize some message is getting left at the front door and maybe it's time to move on, but I'm going to put my chicken on the Diamondbacks being the first team to remove a manager this year. They're dead.
Dibs. And Goo, get this. Diamondbacks were at one point this season 15-13. Since then, they're 5-33. Also, don't sleep on the Angels. Six in a row.
Without Trout.
Yeah, he's coming back shortly. They hope he get him back right after the All-Star break.
Man, they're in the Bay tonight. 5-33 is crazy.
It's unbelievable.
That's almost impossible to do. I mean, NBA, you could see a team that's that bad play that badly. But baseball, normally you kind of find your way into a gem or a two-homer game. Wow, that caught me.
Real quick, Dibs, what's the clubhouse like in that type of environment, you think? You think they're still playing cards and music? I would have all that banned. Nobody say nothing.
Well, picture Bumgarner in there. Bumgarner, who's angry in a 95-win season. How much edge does he have right now in the desert? Want to get away?
Just for context, 5-32 over a 162-game season is 25 wins.
That's not going to get it done.
No, that's probably out of the wild card picture. Game number four last night in our league in the Wild Wild West, the Rockies ruined by the Reds.
It's the first bases-loaded situation that Hendricks has inherited, a rookie himself. Payoff, swing and a miss! Ryan Hendricks strikes out Dom Nunez and leaves the bases loaded.
John Sadak, Bally Sports, Ohio, big out there. Eugenio Suarez, a three-piece in the second. The Reds back above 500, and the Rockies mini roll goo slowed in the natty.
Yeah, they've lost four. D-backs have lost 10, and I'll say this about the Giants and their future. You got two easies in your division, and again, Stoney, my favorite phrase, you handle the bums, you'll be around. So if they can handle business against the Rockies and Diamondbacks, you know, they'll take us to the end. And how that'll end, I don't know. But it'll be exciting.
I'll tell you what. There's a big advantage the Giants have. And you're right on the money, Goo, that they get to play the Rockies and the Arizona Diamondbacks those times. And you look at a division like the NL Central. And, I mean, you've got the Cubs, the Brewers. You've got the Reds and the Cardinals. They're all essentially 500 or above. So their overall record is, chances are the Giants have a better shot at that second wild card because they can make some hay against the bottom feeders. Whereas, you know, the Cubs, they got to play the Brewers, Reds, and Cardinals. And the Cardinals have to play the Reds, Brewers, and Cubs. So there's the silver lining about the Giants in the NL West, even though they are playing against two powerhouses in San Diego and L.A. But that's what's going on with last night in our league. Yeah, go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just going to say the beautiful thing about baseball is like golf. It's mental. And sometimes you're playing yourself. And I remember this last series that the Giants were in Arizona. They had to do everything to get out of there, Dibs, with a split. So, you know, the margin of error against, you know, sorry teams is thin because, you know, you got to bring it every day. And I know we'll get into the Giants here shortly, but I'm looking at this road trip, even Texas included, like, man, I thought they were going to be 11-2. And already that's not going to be it. But maybe that was unrealistic.
Yeah, I think so. And you go to Texas and you think a split is the worst you want to do when you got there. And you go to Washington, you think a split is the worst we want to do when you got that. And maybe if you would have been in a different circumstance, better weather, healthier roster, you would have done better. But, you know, the way it went and the lack of offense you had throughout the four games, you are thrilled with a split. So you come back 3-3, knowing you've got a full week, 7 games in 7 days, against, like you were talking about, some of the others, the D-backs. Now you're home. Arizona's terrible on the road. You're good at home. Now you start thinking about greed. You survive the road, and then you make hay at home.
All right.
And Dibs, you brought it up when they started this thing after a day off. They had 13 games in 13 days, and right now they're 3-3. And ordinarily, I never like to make a big deal out of one particular series because, let's face it, baseball is something that, you know, it's probably better to assess each week and to kind of keep the temperature of your team. Now, having said that, the Diamondbacks are so bad that you do want to win 3 out of 4 against them. Because if you don't win 3 out of 4 against them, now you're 5-5 in that 13-game stretch. And you may have missed an opportunity to make some hay, but You know, the Giants still, I think, are in real good shape, obviously. A game up on the Dodgers, three up on San Diego. But while I don't like to put a lot of emphasis on an individual series, this is one that you got to go ahead and take three of four, because 2-2 is going to feel real, real empty, I think.
A little bit empty. It's still so early that 2-2, it would be, yeah, kind of okay. You know, like when you hit a par three and you three putt for bogey. You know, okay, I had an 88-foot putt. It would have been tough to make a two putt, and I didn't. So that's kind of what this would feel like to me. You know, it's not a disaster. Ultimately, you know, split a series, win a series, that's what you want. Of course, you want to get greedy and think you're going to sweep it, but look where they are. And, Goo, you made this point in the green room. Offensively, they're in a tough spot. Their run total in Washington, 1-0-2-0. That's not good for four games. And I know one of them was truncated based on being a doubleheader, but still, to get three runs in four games, that doesn't bode well no matter where you're going.
And you know what, Steiny, I got to tell both of you, I know I'm overly dramatic, but as I get older, I want to lose that facet to my personality. So I just take a deep breath and kind of chill. But through 61 games, this team had been held scoreless twice. And over the weekend, they were held scoreless. And we had the conversation, what's going to wane first, Guru, the hitting, pitching, or defense? And I'm just saying, since Longo got hurt, all of a sudden, the offense productivity has gone down. No Dickerson. So tonight, Arizona, I'm expecting to know where was the power at, guys? So what I'm saying, Steiny, is I ain't concerned, but I'm watching a theme develop to where, oh, was the Longo injury the one that sets it off like Latifah? Because if tonight we don't get 5 or 6, nothing, you know, 6-2 or 6-0, then I'm starting to get worried that, okay, they were playing above their heads collectively with the long ball, Dibs. Because, man, you're telling me three runs in four games for this Gigante team? What's going on? Or is it nothing to see here? Everything will be okay.
Yeah, it's please disperse, nothing to see here at this point, because you're still second in the National League in plus minus, in run differential. And that ultimately tells you all you need to know about how legit you are, because your pitching is still good. I mean, you didn't lose these games 12-1. You were in it. Every single game was nip and tuck. You didn't get the big hit, and you didn't get the big ball, the big homer. Ah! So, you know,
four.
Yeah, thank you. Steiny gives me two.
Steiny's there, yeah.
Steiny's still on Eastern time right now. He doesn't understand and appreciate the greatness. But if you come to Arizona, a team that's been so terrible and so terrible on the road, if you struggle and scuffle, then maybe NASA, we have a problem.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station. The segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking. No compromises. And the thing I'm a little surprised about is Guru used a stat that was cherry-picked.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.